Welcome to the Invasion Day edition of Scam of the Week, and we greet you with the heartbreaking news that Gina Rinehart plans to move her money to the US. Why Gina will be the new Queen Victoria, proclaimed Kerry Stokes' West Australian newspaper, splashing it on their front page, even making Rupert's newspaper, the Israelian, blush when it comes to crawling to billionaires. But as Gina is so fed up with Australia, she plans to move money to the US, where it's so great in the land of the Donald, after just pocketing another $200 million in public subsidies from the government which she opposes, for a rare earths project off to the US of A. Now, we're personally appalled and crestfallen at Gina's plight, having to become an economic refugee in the US because things are so hard here for Gina, having to hang out with the Donald and Sig Heil Elon because she is so horrendously oppressed in Australia. Viva les billionaires! You can see why Gina is turfed off, though, having to pay tax on her $30 billion fortune. I mean, Australia, thanks to the iron ore leases pegged by her father, Lang Hancock, which made her the world's richest woman, she is nonetheless just being ripped off, having to pay royalties on that mineral wealth because she doesn't actually own it. It is leased. The land is actually owned by the Crown. It's owned by the state. So the minerals actually belong to other people as well as Gina. It's disgraceful. The whole thing is tragically unfair. Having to go to the US because of oppressive conditions in Australia. And as the criers, the town criers for another American billionaire were lamenting on Sky News Israelia this week, it's a shocker. Poor Gina. Now, while we here at Michael West Media were breaking the news that Sky's operator Foxtel hadn't paid a cent in tax on $14 billion in income over 5 years and lied to the government about it in a statutory document, a submission to the Senate, to a Senate inquiry. In WA, they don't see things this way. They were splashing on Gina and how she should buy Victoria. Just to quote the WA newspaper, then Gina can turf out all those inner city wankers who don't like her business or her opinions on climate change and gender politics. But hold my beer, declared Warren Mundine in a voracious bid once more for the mantle of scam of the week. Australia, said Warren, should impose a Trump-style anti-Australia tax on this hospitality group who had the cheek to refuse to hold Australia Day celebrations. Just sheer genius from Warren. He keeps on knocking the lights out with his zingers. It'd be good to see Warren flying the flag proudly today in his red Ferrari as an Australian Indigenous rights leader, self-proclaimed. So the US-owned group, News Corp, the American domicile group, might have conveniently buried the story this week from the UK, where they finally got roasted in court in a damages claim by Prince Harry and Tom Watson for running a criminal enterprise. We were surprised that there was no coverage in the criminal enterprise here in Australia of this industrial-scale invasion of privacy. Must have been just an oversight. That empire of real news, honest views. But the American company was valiant in its defense of our day. Save our day, all the tabloids proclaimed. And the government isn't just throwing cash at Gina Rinehart to shimmy off to the US. It also chucked another $50 million at Rex Airlines, another corporate bailout, to preserve Qantas and Virgin's duopoly. Yes, rather than take an equity stake, get some value for our money, or heaven forbid, allow a foreign carrier into the market to deliver competition in the domestic aviation market. They wouldn't do that. That makes too much sense. They prefer, the Minister for Qantas, Catherine King, they prefer to do a Josh Frydenberg and just hand out our cash to failing companies for nothing. And so it is that we are up to 130 million in handouts to Rex alone now. Not quite as much as Gina, but 130 million. And Qantas, well, its share price shot up this week as it announced plans to stiff its frequent flyers, adjust its points scheme. It was a classic bait and switch by the mangy roo by its new chief executive, Vanessa Hudson, who when she came in, she enticed some customer loyalty in the frequent flyer schemes by making them more generous when she replaced Alan Joyce as CEO, ramped up the points scheme, got the customers back on side, and this week downgraded the points. Nice work, Vanessa. Good scam. Nice for ESOP, your executive share option plans. As you can see, the dilemma is Brobigdajnian. It's huge. Deciding our champion. Because we also had Keith Pitt. Yes, little Keithy Pitt. A coal-loving man and coalition warrior leading the charge, rather, in the Heat the Planet stakes. Keith suddenly resigned. Yes, he has announced that he is leaving. Oh, no. Leaving his seat completely up in the air. Just a couple of months before the election. His work is done, staving off any initiative which might involve renewable energies. Having frustrated Malcolm Turnbull at every step with Malcolm's one-seat majority by demanding they put some coal in the RET, or whatever Malcolm's scheme was called then. I've had enough of them. Keith Pitt. And the anti-Semitism scammers, well, they were in high dudgeon this week as police began to establish that Muslims were not behind the spate of terror graffiti and firebombings. Terror graffiti. Yes, it appeared to be the work of foreign parties, said the AFP, financing local criminals. What dejection there was. Not good for the program of dehumanization of Muslims and Arabs by the Israel lobby. Not good for Sky News After Dark. They were desperately hoping, praying even, for somebody with a distant Muslim relative to be involved. And then the pièce de résistance. Peter Dutton's mighty free lunch policy kicked off the week. What a beauty. No sooner had free lunches been announced to kick off the campaign, this week's timetable, that the solutions on how to scam the free lunch giveaway were being laid down. One, make sure your local noshery records alcohol as foods that you can get on the piss care of taxpayers. Two, if there are six people at your lunch, your free lunch, one will pay, but all six will receive a receipt for the value of the meals to claim as a tax deduction. And three, of course, eligible small businesses will claim every family night out, and why not? Because it's uncosted. Doesn't matter how much it costs. It's all about the sizzle, not the sausage. It will cost billions. And okay, there are more effective things they could have done to help small businesses. $20,000, by the way, is quite a cap on lunches. But they could have enforced payment times for suppliers in small businesses who get roisted by 90-day payment terms when it should be 30. It would speed up the whole economy, the velocity of money. But no, Peter's absolutely genius policy for small business is back to free lunches. What a masterstroke. Get Australia back on crack. Back on track with lunch. It's a lunch-fed recovery. So as the finance world now, as we've seen in the august pages of the Australian Fossil Fuel Review this week, the finance world is in a tears about Donald Trump's war on woke. And the big debate is on in corporate governance land about dumping DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion, fairness stuff, equal opportunity and things like that. That kind of woke thing. Oh, yes, the AFFR pages were ablaze with the debate over the looming governance revolution. They can't just do their own thing without a lead from the Donald. We're also in a state of confusion, therefore, over the scam of the week, but it is hard to go past. That luminary Warren Mundine, that shining light of Indigenous spokespeople, for his savvy initiative to cancel woke and bring in an anti-Australia tax for those who refuse to celebrate Invasion Day. Thank you very much for your support. Please like, share and comment in the space below. Check out our anti-Semitism industry video, the last one. Check out the coverage on the website, BHP, big scoop there. And enjoy Australia Day, Invasion Day. It sort of worked out well in a way, hasn't it? Because if you want to celebrate Invasion Day, you can celebrate Invasion Day, as many people will be doing. And if you want to celebrate Australia Day, you can do that too. Very democratic.